I think has like six or seven instruments on board. Plus, they're using it as a repeater for the rovers and also for the lander. It's also on Mars surface. I don't know. I'd like to hear the story about the guy that received that signal. That sounds good. But we'll turn it back to you. WB2BXO, WX1.
Paul, can I make a comment?
Okay, Roy, pick it up.
Okay, that signal apparently was going in at 982.001 megahertz. It had, as you mentioned, no modulation. It did have a little bit of drift that they think might have been a Doppler drift. These are all based on about 30 hours of data that were recorded between April and May of 2019. So they've been sitting around gathering dust, and they finally broke them open and started to look at them. And this information got leaked. The actual report and research paper has yet to be published, so that'll be fascinating. And as far as I'm aware, they haven't been able to pick up the signal since then. So I think it's going to just stay a mystery for the time being.
Okay, here, another wow. Another wow signal. And then, one other thing. Now I forgot his name. You know, CXO. He brought up the mapping of Venus. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, that Arecibo was able to bounce signals off of Venus. But at one point, you know, back in the 90s, we did send Magellan there. Magellan was a radar, SAR type of radar, synthetic aperture radar experiment that went around the poles. It was the polar orbit of Venus. And it went around there for years, and it completely mapped the surface of Venus, so you could actually get a globe. I don't know where we got it, but you could actually get a globe of what the surface of Venus looks like. Let me talk. I'll send it back to BXO. Go ahead, WS.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the report about MRO reception is within the ARRL Eclectic Tech podcast, which I suppose you can find on their website. If you have trouble finding it, just shoot me an email, and I'll find the direct link. I have it on my podcast. Anyway, you know, that's an interesting story. The same guy, and I think some other people also are monitoring, monitored and recovered telemetry from the Chinese lunar probes, the Chinese lunar orbiters. The Chinese actually don't release the telemetry themselves, so JPL and NASA are apparently, according to the podcast, and I've heard this on Dr. Pamela Gay's Daily Space podcast also, that the astronomy community, NASA and JPL are entirely dependent on the amateur radio reports of the Chinese. Excuse me, I don't want to insult anybody. The Chinese are not really releasing much telem or video or other data from it. Which is interesting to me because I believe some of the Chinese moon probes are intentionally designed to be received by amateurs, even though they don't want to release information from to anybody. So something of a contradiction there. But the important is guys are copying the telemetry from those things. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Very good. Very good. I'll search. I'll find that. Very good. They've done that with a lot of, not a lot, but a few of these satellites that have gone off to distant planets. They've actually had cams trying to receive signals from the spacecraft. As it, you know, maybe halfway between here and wherever they were going. did that with InSight and a couple of the other ones. One I got involved with was Juno. Juno is a spacecraft, large spacecraft, flying around Jupiter right now. It's probably around 120 feet. One end to the other. It's going to be three massive solar panels attached to it. So to get there, it went around the sun once, went up to Earth, used Earth as a gravity assist. And then wanted to fly, had to fly past Earth, pick up speed to eventually get to Jupiter. And it was late 2013 when it came past Earth, 7 years ago. And what they wanted to do was get amateurs to transmit high, to the spacecraft over and over again. It was very, very slow, Morse code. You would transmit on 10 meters. And everybody was going to do it collectively at one time, so it would be like one big signal from Earth. So, okay, that looks like fun. So, you knew exactly when, signed up for this, and NASA and JPL would, let everybody know when we're going to start transmitting. And that's what we did. And if you did, if you participated with it, they would send you a QSL card, which they did. And I have that now. NASA on him. The logo and the JPL. That was pretty good. They wanted to test the plasma antenna, plasma receiving system. Even though it wasn't an RF receiving thing, it would detect the RF as a something like a plasma type of event. And sure enough, it did work. The thing actually received the word high. H-I and C-W. So that was pretty interesting. They do things like that. But this guy sounds like he's doing it on his own. He just wanted to see if he could receive signals from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. All right, any other questions, comments? If not, I'll drop it for a long period of time if you want to pick it back up again. On Echo Link, WS1.
Yeah, one more comment on Arecibo if nobody else is in the queue.
Yes, go ahead, you have it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I remember hearing the experiment where they transmitted a signal with some mathematical symbols in the water hole on the water hole frequency or near the water hole frequency years ago. I believe it was aimed at a globular cluster, if I remember correctly, at a distance of about 25,000 light years. The problem with the experiment, as I understand it, is it was pointed at where the globular cluster is now, not where it will be 25,000 years from now. So, in the event there is actually anybody there who could receive the signal and has enough gain to receive it at that range, the signal will miss them anyway. Apparently a really poorly designed experiment, the BB2BX. So, have a good day. Have a great.
Paul, can I make a comment?
I think it was like terawatt CPR. Effective radiated power. That's what I was talking about. It's just a symbol, a mathematical symbol, or a person would look like. And all. Wow. Yeah, go ahead, Roy. AC2GS, WS1.
Yeah, it's even more annoying than that, as far as I can see. If they actually pointed it at the cluster, they didn't point it at where it won't be when it finally reaches there. They pointed it where it isn't even anymore. Those electromagnetic waves took, 25,000 years to reach us. So that was the right place 25,000 years ago.
Okay, well, they would have got it right, but if Congress cut them off, and it was 1992. I remember they said it was the 500th anniversary of the discovery of Columbus. So, what happened was the Congress, I think it was on that date, they said, that's it, we're cutting you off. They were allowing, I think, $200 million, whatever it was, at the time, for a steady investigation. And I think they didn't like the idea of what they were doing. But if they didn't cut them off, maybe they would have tried again, and they would have got it right next time. Pointed to Alpha Centauri or Proxima Centauri, someplace a little bit more local, instead of a big cluster. Right, I don't know. Congress sometimes don't want anything to do with science. We're never going to hear from them, but it's interesting. It keeps young people interested. Back you.
Yeah, I give them A for effort, and I understand the Congress is looking at the nickels and dimes. You know, we kind of look back at NASA with rose-colored glasses, but I distinctly remember the people bitching and complaining that, you know, the people are starving someplace and we're given money to go to the moon, and there were endless arguments about whether the weather had changed since rockets went up. So, you know, nickels and dimes have always been a factor in space. You know, someday we'll find a cheap way of propulsion, but until then, I think that's going to be a constant with us.
Okay. Yeah, that was Reverend Ralph Abinoff. He was down at... they invited him to come down to Florida, so they had a bus to come down, and they were going to watch the Apollo moon landing. Launch of the Saturn V from Apollo 11. And they were, getting ready to demonstrate, like you said, what are we spending all this money for? And then the administrator at the time came out and talked to him and said, it's X amount of dollars, whatever we're spending. Do you think that if we take that money, the poor at the time, I'll call up for lunch. When they realize how much money we're talking about, it's actually a drop in a bucket to send the men to the moon compared to the money you would need to solve all the problems in the country. So with that, Ralph Abernathy, the story goes, push that button. But, I'm sure he didn't say that, but that's the way the story goes. But he approved this launch. They were all thrilled to watch this thing go back and forth. AC2GSWS.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, he was a famous guy, so it's nice that, I see the dynamics of the situation. There are some people who aren't curious about anything, so they're not seeing why you waste the money to find out stuff that doesn't affect you immediately. There are others who are sitting there with a green, plastic hat and a calculator trying to figure return on investments. And research, you never quite know what the return on investment. And, I'm a curious guy, you're a curious guy. That's enough to spend all that money for us, but not other people. So I can understand the disagreements that have visited NASA since its very beginning.
Okay, yeah. It's a good agency. They've had their problems with the public trust, public doubt. Like with Hubble, that didn't work out. And, sure enough, became the most successful science piece of equipment eventually that they put in space when they figured out how to fix it. It took a spacewalk to do it. It took
pictures that they got back, the finds that they got out of it. The public didn't trust them. They were being made fun of on all the talk shows, nightly comedy shows. They really overcame it. You know, it's like anything else, you know. It's a step forward, sometimes a step back. You know, you always get, I got my fingers crossed when these rockets go up, Joe. But, you know, if you lose one or two of them, you know, you could kill a whole program for not years, decades. Okay, Ryan, I'm going to say 73. We'll close this whole portion of the net. Turn it over to you. Tomorrow night I'll be on the club at InfoNet. Climemark Club at InfoNet. If you're not a member of the club, it doesn't matter. You can check in. It's on the these repeaters at 11, at 8:30. Not at 8 o'clock, but 8:30. And then followed by the Swap and Chop. Always great. Roy, AC2GS, WS1.
This is AC2GS. Thank you very much, Paul, for the space report and everything you do here and elsewhere. And thanks to Andy, WA2CDL, for Andy's Corner. And I look forward to next week's episode and new stuff and old stuff and all kinds of interesting stuff. And as always, I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. It's you guys that make or break any kind of a net. You don't want to hear me blathering on. So it's always good to interact with people and to discuss interesting topics. And I know I enjoyed myself, and I hope most of you out there listening and participating did as well. Again, want to remind everyone, if you have any questions, you can't get onto the net for whatever reason, or if you have a topic you would like to hear discussed, or if you have a puzzle you want to share, or if you'd like me to poke to Paul and ask him to take a look at something and make a comment, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@alphacharlie2gulfsierra.com. Link page available. There's a couple of nice things on the link page, so please take a look at them. That's at roy.ac2gs.com. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to keep the W2VL repeater audio feed on my computer, so if you need to listen to what's going on the repeater and you don't have a radio and you have a cell phone with a browser, you just point it at technet.ac2gs.com and you'll be able to pick up whatever signal's coming out of W2VL. And I always want to remind NJI has a great archive of amateur of the technical nets going back to September of 2006. That's at his site, amateurradio.tv. So once again, thanks to everyone out there. And as I often do, I will leave you with some wise advice. One of the wisest men that I met, Dick, K2RAW, very often he would end his technical nets with the approbation of be kind to each other. Again, especially this time of our lives, we really have to be kind to each other like we never were before. It's always good advice. These are dangerous times, but don't be fearful. Be smart. Protect yourself. It's going to get bumpy because of people who didn't socially distance for the holidays, but we'll reach the other end of the tunnel. The vaccines will be produced and distributed, and I hope people will avail themselves of it, and we will see the end of this travesty. So please, have a safe a week. Have a happy and healthy new year. This is Alpha Charlie 2 Gulf Sierra, and I'll be clear.
Boy, what's BXO's call letter name?
You mean WB2BXO? That's Frank.
Nice, okay, forgot. Very good, thank you.
Yeah, Roy, thanks a lot, and thanks a lot for all the emails on this stuff. Seriously, good job, guys. The B2BX stuff.
Thanks, Frank, and I always keep at least one eye on the EchoLink client just to make sure if anyone's trying to catch anyone's attention.
have a good night. I know you guys with real day jobs have to get going. Giving 2BXO, not...
In the real old days, Dick could go for something like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before they started to shut the repeater down.
Yeah, I think that's why they started shutting them off at midnight, even though I think most other nights my mark used to be on all night long.
Yeah, it got to be a little too much, and so it was suggested that maybe rather than having to tell people to about technology, if the repeater went off, he couldn't talk technology. So that's why Sunday night, Monday mornings, they shut it down. Then many years later, when John, KC2WGB, passed away, and he used to kind of hold court in the middle of the night, and it was loads of fun to talk with him and even to listen to the conversations. When he passed away, there wasn't that much traffic in the middle of the night, and there were a couple of odd people ka-chunking the repeater, so they said, to hell with it, let's just shut it down midnight every day of the week. So, it's a shame.
Yeah, well, possibly the repeaters here, Line Mark, and many of the other New York repeaters, and some of the repeaters closer to me in Philadelphia and Bucks County, are, for the most part, friendly. A friend of mine on the West Coast was complaining to me the other day that the repeaters in the Bay Area, many of them are rather unfriendly because the only reason they are open repeaters is because they are stood on public land, so they're required to be accessible from the public, but the clubs really don't want to encourage non-club members to get on the repeaters. So I guess we're doing relatively well in the New York area.
Well, I mean, for the most part, there is one repeater, which I will probably not name, where the control operator is really got to stick up his backside. And unless he thinks your conversation is short and or very important, he will come on and tell you to shoo.
Yeah, I'm not on the repeaters in the New York area enough to know which repeater that is. that is these days. I used to be on a lot in the 70s and 80s. I used to have big arguments with the control operators on the Mayork repeater of those days. Different era. I don't know if you remember a certain control operator on Mayork. I used to have arguments with 40 or 50, probably about 40 years ago. Anyway, so, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, this particular repeater is truly the Mickey Mouse repeater in the area. And unfortunately, I don't really have much experience. I just got my license about 9.5 years ago. So I didn't have a radio when I first got my license. My first conversation was using Echolink through a iPhone.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm working you now, is Echolink through an iPhone. In fact, the vast majority of my ham radio there is through remote sites. Use a remote site to access a couple of HF stations, since I'm in an HOA limited condo here. And my apartment in Brooklyn is even worse. That one's a Faraday cage. Yeah, I get that. And you know, it's interesting. You do want to chat for a couple of minutes. I'm going to have to go soon also. I do actually have a part-time retirement business, so I do have to get up at some point. But anyway, the bit with the SETI project was not the first time Congress decided it was science fiction and shut a project down. About the time Isaac Asimov published his famous article, the federal government funded a study by, I think, the RAND Corporation to tell them whether space satellites are feasible, and they said it could be done within 10 years. And probably Proxmire and his crowd in Congress barred any funding to orbit satellites because they said, we're not going to fund science fiction. Of course, once the Russians did it, they had to change the law and get NASA to do it as quickly as they possibly could.
And I wouldn't be surprised if pork was another aspect that the companies that would have gotten the contracts were not located in the areas that these particular congressmen and senators were interested in.
Yeah, well, often the effect is the obvious, like one of the reasons Republicans were pushing the Artemis project, building the so-called SLS, the Space Launch System, is because they wanted some money to go to Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama and fund some jobs and contracts there. Of course, SpaceX is building Moon and Mars rockets like nobody's business, apparently. There's really no need for Congress to fund it at this point, but, you know, that's an endless argument. So go ahead.
Yeah, the more you can take out of the hands of the politicians, usually the best.
I do, because you've got like 1,200 appointed jobs that they fill with every administration. I mean, one thing I've tried to get interested in is the idea of eliminating all but the cabinet jobs and making all the other civil service, and that would also get a lot of money out of the political system because then there just wouldn't be the incentive to buy all these jobs, which is what's happened. Anyway, but both parties love to give out jobs, so I doubt the idea's been around for a long time, and I doubt it's going to get any traction anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, pork is built into any kind of political system. The Roman Republic had it. Probably the Greek city-states had it. It's human nature, unfortunately. Wherever you go, there is a human. So you got to allow for these things.
Yeah, well, my system's going to be perfect. You know, you could approach perfection as a limit, but never reach it, as I guess the mathematicians would say.
Well, eventually either our robot overlords or our supercomputer overlords will be in control, and then everything will be perfect according to them.
Well, that's the caveat. According to them, who defines perfect?
Well, yeah, in most cases, individuals make the standard. Standards are not really objective, ultimately. You can make them more objective, but there's always the subjectivity of the values you give for different things, what's more valuable than other things. And those are subjective. So, yeah, it depends upon the person making up the rules.
Yeah, but anyway, the whole thing with the SETI and METI projects is interesting. All right, I'm going to get going. It's getting a little late here, and like I said, though, I don't have, I'm retired and don't have a real job, so to speak. I still have my little part-time business, and I promise to get on Zoom with somebody in the morning.
Okay, very good, Frank. Always a pleasure. Hope you check in next Sunday night. Be well, stay safe, and we'll talk again.
7-3.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Thank you.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
N1YDY mobile 2. Listening.
W2OSR.
Morning, Bob. How you doing today? Nice to see a weather change. Even from this morning, it's a lot nicer.
Yeah, I was surprised. Not bad out. Yesterday I was out and it was a little bit warmer and it felt raw.
Yeah, I can't complain. Get a little walk around the neighborhood. Now I gotta go to a doctor's. But other than that, it's a gorgeous day. And I didn't have to go to a doctor's. I think I'd like to go down to one of the local parks by the water and walk around that, but that's not going to work out.
All right. Well, speaking of doing something like that, I'm driving down to one of our beaches. There's a lot of construction work going on around there. At, I'm pulling the parking space down there and eat my sandwich.
Oh, very good. It must be a nice place to go take a lunch break.
Yeah, and if I was so inclined, there's a place I could walk.
Well, that sounds good. Give me a second here. I'm watching what this person does. One of those stereotypes, typical, conflict, where you see a car and you expect one to have the driver, and then you actually see the driver, and you think, oh, I would never have put that person in that car.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're talking about. Okay, somebody's over here in my parking space. We can take a different one. Not a big problem.
Usually when I eat a sandwich or something in that your part of the world, I like to go across from the Sea Cliff Yacht Club. There are those spots that face out into the inlet that are kind of a neat view.
Yeah, well, you got the parking near the Sea Cliff Yacht Club, but I'm over here on Garvey's Point Road, so I'm looking towards that direction from there. Actually, I'm going into one of the parking spaces that the folks with trailers are supposed to use, but it works.
Pretty good. What do you have for a sandwich?
Ham and cheese. I don't know how well you know the area. I went to Leo's Deli and picked it up.
Long time since I've been there. About 4 or 5 years.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to say 7-3. Good luck with the doctor. Hopefully nothing serious. And I'm going to go eat my lunch. W2OSR.
7-3. Enjoy your lunch, and by the way, Happy New Year.
I keep forgetting it. We've been into New Year, only about 4 days now? I'm forgetting it's a new year. Right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. N1YDY, clear and listening.
KG2KNA, Charlie, you out there?
W2VL, repeater.
KG2NSA, standing by.
I was waiting for the tone, Sam. Happy New Year. KG2KNH.
Wow, I finally reached you. I wanted to tell you Happy New Year. They didn't give us time on the show last night, so I couldn't, you know, get in and say not to you. So how was the New Year? And welcome back.
Well, I'm working again. It was nice to have a few extra days off. But, nothing new, uneventful. I really don't celebrate the New Year. Went to bed early, and when I woke up, you know, just like that, it was another year.
I know, I haven't spoken to you since last year. All right, Charlie, it's just good to hear you. I'm glad you're doing okay. I'm getting ready to get some food. I thought about you yesterday because my daughter brought Chinese food in. But I'm going to get me something from Taco Bell. I'm going to order now.
Oh, very good. Thanks for the call. And, I just finished my lunch. I'm heading out to Riverhead. Yesterday I was actually on the radio from about 2 o'clock on. I had to go drop by my brother's house, and his battery was dead, so we had to get him another one. So that was fun. But I'll catch you later, Sam. Order your food. Get something to eat. KD2KNH clear.
Okay, Charlie. I'm reading up about something with this radio cross-repeater. Like, if I put in my repeater here, I can put in another one and it'll reach them. Because I'm trying to get to Roy's station on Sunday morning, you know, on 10 meter. So I'm trying to find out how I can reach him. He said sometimes he can hear Nassau County. He's in Brooklyn, but not all the time. So I was thinking, I don't know if they're on a repeater either. I don't know. I got to find out some more information from him. But it says you can put in one station, you hit the button switch, and it goes to the other repeater that you put in.
All right, I can't help you there. Definitely ask somebody in a technical, somebody should be able to help you. But 10 meters, you probably only have 10 meters FM, so if they're running sideband, you're not going to be able to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, Charlie. You driving? All right. Be careful while you're talking. What's the difference between FM and sideband?
Oh, we're talking on FM mode now. Sideband is like an upper and a lower side to the frequency. The upper sideband, of course, and lower sideband, and usually on HF. So Andy's really up on 10 meters. I want to check with him. But you have to make sure they're running what you can actually contact.
Okay, this is a Yaesu 8900. Is the sideband channel a different number?
No, I don't believe that radio is capable of any sideband at all. You need an HF radio for sideband. Yeah, unless they were running in FM mode and the frequency you could get to. But maybe Andy could help you out or somebody else with a little bit more knowledge.
Okay, what I did. All right, thank you, Charlie. I don't want to jam you up. I think you're exactly right. I don't think I have sideband. It's only in the HF radio. This is not HF. And I went online to YouTube. They're telling me how to do it, which is a nice feature. Because I told one other guy about his, and he said he went on YouTube about 4 or 6 steps, and he learned about the antenna hookup. So that's what I'm doing now. All right, but yeah, you're right. This is not HF radio at all. It's regular. Now I know what you mean, the FM. All right, Charlie, thanks a lot, man. It's just nice to hear your voice. Have a safe trip today. I'll have the radio on later, KD2NSJ.
All right, Sam. Yeah, I think a lot of new users get tricked into thinking they're going to get 10 meters and, they buy one of those radios. Anyway, get your lunch. I'll talk to you again soon. KD2KNH Cliff, 73.
You know, you're right. You know, George told me that and I didn't understand him. I thought I was talking on 10 meters. He said, no, 10 meters is HF. And I don't understand how you have a 10 meter FM and a 10 meter HF. But I'll learn that too. But George, that's just what you're saying. Okay, take care, Charlie. I'm up clear. KD2NSK.
Okay, Sam. KD2KD's clear.
This is KD2VDW testing Echo Link.
This is KD2KH Mobile. You sound good.
This is KD2VDW. Thank you. Yeah, you know, new ham, trying it all out, trying to learn it all.
Well, that's going to take a while, but good luck, Bob. Welcome to the hobby.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a long way to go. I know there's so many facets to it. Thank you again. Enjoy your day. This is KD2BDW73.
Have a nice day. KD2KH Clear 73.
KD2ES.
Is that you, Andy? KD2ESY, KD2KH.
Back again, please.
Oh, I didn't hear your whole call sign. I thought you were a friend. Did he hit your call again? I'm afraid I heard nothing that time.
Wondering if I did that.
I heard a couple of words. That was about it. I just arrived at my destination. Maybe somebody else can pick you up as a tester. Not a run, unfortunately. KD2KH clear. Have a nice day.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
N2IE.
Thank you.
bad signal this morning.
This is Kilo Delta 2, Foxtrot Hotel India, that's KD2FHI. Your signal's very weak, there's a lot of static in the background. Can you come back again?
KD2UHI, this is Kilo Delta 2, Uniform Mike Hotel. Sorry for the bad signal, I am transmitting off HT from Queens, New York, so good amount of interference and not the best. Let me know if you can hear me any better. Just one spot where I can get a delicate position. Let me know if you can get any better or get any worse.
Well, your signal seems to be coming in and out, and the static seems to come in and out over your signal. I know you said something about New York. I know you're on NHT, but I didn't know where in New York, and I didn't get your call sign.
That's Kilo Delta 2, Mike Hotel, transmitting out of Washington. The signal's kind of rough. If it's not coming through any better, I'll probably just hop off. Thanks for the fact. One more time. Delta 2.
I'm sorry, my friend. I can't make out a word of what you're saying. I know you said KD2, but that was it. That's all I got. Are you inside using an HT, or are you outside? And do you have a line of sight to the repeater? Over.
Yeah, I'm outside. HT's not full power, full battery right now, so that's probably why you didn't have this thing. I got it fully charged. But, I guess I'll just hop off. Thanks for reading back to me. Maybe I'll try again tomorrow on full battery. I've been able to hit the repeater before with a decent signal. Guess that's just not how it's going today. It's cloudy out. Thanks for reading back to me. Sorry I couldn't mention your clean signal. KD2UMH. Over and out. Thank you again. Bye.
KD2UMH. See, that time I heard you. You know, with an HT, simple 5 watts going outside, you should hit the repeater. Where exactly are you? I know you said New York, but I didn't get your exact location. Over.
Flushing.
Gotcha, Flushing.
Well,
Flushing, you should, unless you're over by the railroad track. I know that area well. My uncle used to live in 171st Street, just north of Northern Boulevard. Really shouldn't have any trouble, but hey, it is what it is. But I did hear you the last time. That was clear. It's still static, and I couldn't tell you what the answer to that is, but I did hear static.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I'm not sure if you caught it, but usually when I'm out here trying to hit this gear, I'm on a full battery. There's usually still a little bit of static, just because, like I said, I'm definitely not transmitting at the optimal location, but I'm really on the spot where I live that is better. So, and it's cold out, so I'm not really trying to walk too far. But yeah, thanks for getting back to me. I appreciate it. I'm still pretty new. I got my license late last year. There's a ton of repeaters, but I'm just not getting them open and set up, but I unfortunately can't. But yeah, thanks for getting back to me. I think I'm going to head inside. It's kind of cold. I'm glad you can hear me at all. Sorry about the static. Thanks anyway. Nice to see you guys. This is Bill Delta 2. Well, open now. Thank you.
All right, Roger. You were good that time. Soft. It's a soft signal. But you'll figure it out. And I'm glad you're in the hobby. It's a lot of fun. And don't worry about getting the equipment. You work your way up to it. Most of my stuff's all used. So just take your time. You'll know what you like. And when the COVID thing is over and the ham fest comes, you'll get a good chance to see what's out there. All right, 73 is to you. This is KD2FHI on the side listening.
KD2FHI, this is KD2W.
Roger, KD2VEW.
This is Kilo Delta 2, Victor Drinks Whiskey, how are you?
Victor Drinks Whiskey, alright. I'm okay. I'm heading home. I was in Manhattan, I'm in Brooklyn, seeing clients. I got an assignment I got to take care of, so I'm racing home. I work out of my house, and I bring a laptop with me, but in this particular instance, it's a little more involved, so I'm going to do the work on the desktop. But I'm well. How about yourself?
As well as can be expected. You're, you know, riding out the COVID. Part of the reason I checked in is I heard you speaking, and I've been trying all morning to speak on the digital W2DK, and I'm getting zero success. Radio checks galore, and no one's coming back, so I was wondering if my radio was even working.
Oh, your signal is very clear, very, very clear. Your audio is distinct. I can make out your punctuation, if you will, of your words. I mean, it's really good audio, so the quality of your signal is excellent. I can't speak for the digital stuff. I have an analog radio, so I don't know much about that. There are guys on here who are somewhat expert in it. But your signal's getting strong. You should be proud of your signal.
As a beginner who only got his license at the end of November, I'm on an FT3DR. Yeah, I am kind of proud that with this little signal stick upstairs in my house, I can actually get out to Glen Oak. I still have a little bit, you know, more work to do, get a better antenna and get out there. Just like, I know that it's hard for me to reach the other repeaters. I've heard that sometimes that WB2WAK repeater, you know, has issues. I'm not sure, maybe it's Wires X, I'm not sure. It's weird. I can hear them, but they can't hear me, so no big deal. Which radio are you using in your mobile?
I got a Yaesu, not a Yaesu, what is that? WOUXUN. I found it used at one of the ham sets for like $25, and it sounds fine from what I'm told. I have it going through a 35-watt amp, so I'm getting decent power to the repeaters. And I have a through-the-window connect antenna, dual band. And so probably, because I think I got low wattage going into it, I'm probably putting out maybe 15, 20 watts right now. And, you know, picks everything up, I guess. How's the signal to you? Over.
This is KD2VEW. You two should also be proud of your signal. Yeah, for an HT going into a little amp, and you sound really clear.
Well, that's good to know, because I often don't ask about how my signal is, but that's good. It's funny, a lot of guys are on that DMR, so I really don't get to speak with too many people on here. There are some guys who do come on, some of the older members. They have their little radio thingies, and, I mean, they're not snobs. They'll talk to you. They're nice guys and all, but as like a general... Anytime you get on the radio, you're going to have somebody. It's not like that anymore, at least, especially since a lot of guys are on DMR. That's more.